So Fanon wrote about the utter passion that was required, the courage that ordinary people rose up in the midst of living in a state of terror. And they rose up and they took that risk. He writes about that. He shows that. And he wrote about secrecy, the importance of secrecy. That the people who were the leaders of the rebellion, who really threw themselves into it, needed to blend in, because otherwise they would be killed. They needed to use their veils. The women used their veils to transport things and be hidden. And people were continually pretending deliveries and pretending to be doing something else when they were doing the revolution. This is the same thing that the Luddites did. I mean, it took an incredible amount of research by Kirkpatrick Sale to even give us some names of who the Luddites were, because it was such a hidden part of history. It was partly hidden because, you know, the dominant history books didn't want you to know about it. But it was also history because there were no names. They were secret. Fanon also wrote about another really interesting phenomenon, and that was the reconstellation of meanings and uses of artifacts. So he talks a lot about the radio. This is before TV, or certainly there was no TV in Algeria. And before 1954, when the revolution really started going there, radio was an arm of colonial propaganda. It was Radio Alger. And as struggles began to develop in other parts of Africa, which happened a little earlier, people in Algeria want to learn about it so they could listen to the news on Radio Alger. But within the eruption of their own struggle around 1954, they first found out about their own struggle, again, by listening to the news on Radio Alger. But then they started their own station, The Voice of Free Algeria, 1956. And this was a means of community, building solidarity, and telling each other what was going on. And so at that point, the radio became the center of the battle. Whereas before, the French were kind of disturbed that the Algerians weren't buying radios and weren't listening. Suddenly, after 1954, and certainly after 1956, there was a rush, a stampede to buy radios. The veil was another thing that he talks about, the meaning of the veil and how it changed. Because before 54, it was like a sign of women's oppression. And then after 54, it became a sign of strength among women and a sense of identity with the uprising and with their own culture. And it also, as I said before, became a way for women to walk around and be able to do revolutionary acts without being seen or identified. So during the 1960s, I noticed something very similar, which was that, like at the Oakland Induction Center in 1967, that people started picking up garbage cans when we were meeting the flying wedge of the Oakland police and the Blue Meanings, who were the county police, and started using them as shields. And I know that in your world, I don't happen to have a computer, but I know that the computer has been reconstituted, you know, that you have made the computer into something else so that you can communicate instantaneously with people in Sweden about what just took place. All right? And, of course, we all know at this point that the Zapatistas have survived this long largely because of their communication, instantaneous communication with the outside world through computers. So as the world becomes more globalized today, these colonies are no longer in identifiable places. You know, it's not like French Martinique anymore. It's everywhere. You know, we're all displaced. We are all marginalized. We are all living up against that system. We're all living underneath a microwave tower. You know, we're all living by the mall. We're all living in a maquiladora. And all of us have these logos shot through our brains. And we've all lost our self-determination. And so we are all colonized.